Okay, we're going to make a start. Good morning, welcome to you all, whether you're in Henty or Lockhart or wherever you are around the state. And again this morning by reading a few verses from Psalm 147. It says, "Praise the Lord." And then it says, "How good it is to sing praise to our God." Indeed, it always is good to sing praise to our God. "How pleasant and fitting to praise him," says the psalmist. Psalmist says, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and he calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground." There's a bit of a sketch there of this great God that we worship. The psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp." Let's attempt to do that this morning. And as we do that, let's be reminded of the God that we actually do come to worship and to praise and to give thanks for what he has done. So we're going to start with a hymn, a wonderful old hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." If you're on the songbook, we're on page 22. A reminder, if you're in the church, unfortunately, you can't sing. You have to sing and make music to the Lord in your heart. But if you're online this morning, you can sing as loud as you like. So, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Praise him, praise him, praise him widely
lead us in prayer? Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be reminded of your great goodness to us, to be reminded that you are the Creator God, that, Father, you tell every star where to go, that you send every lightning bolt, you send the sun, you send the clouds. You are the God who controls this world. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us. We thank you that you are not a God who is far off, but that you have drawn near to us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can know you. We thank you we can know your grace. We thank you that your mercy ever flows from your throne on which you sit, Father, and that you constantly pour into our lives, and we see you at work in our life every day. Father, we know that we are so undeserving of everything that you give us, every drop of your grace and mercy. We give you thanks and appreciate because we know that we are so undeserving. But Lord, in your grace, we thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be one of us and to die the death that we deserve so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life through Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that our lives might be a continual offering, a continual thanksgiving, a continual praise before you for all that you have done. Forgive us for the times when we steal from you what is rightfully yours, when we exalt ourselves and our skills. Father, when we think we are so much better than what we actually are. Father, we are amazed that you love us for who we are. Father, we do acknowledge our faults, but we acknowledge your great love. And we confess our confidence in Christ who draws us together this morning, wherever we are, so that we can praise you together. Father, thank you that you are an awesome God. And thank you for being our God. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. And we're going to read the first little section from verse 25 down to 16:6. And Florence is going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Florence.
1 Chronicles, chapter 15, beginning at verse 25 and reading to 16, verse 6. Yes. So David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of units of 1,000 went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing. Because God had helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, seven bulls and seven rams were sacrificed. Now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and as were the singers, and Kenaniah, who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouts, with the sounding of ram's horns and trumpets and of cymbals and the playing of lyres and harps. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second, then Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jeiel, They were to play the lyres and harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God.
Thanks, Florence. Thanks for doing such a great work in pronouncing all those tricky names as well. That was very well done. Some announcements for us this morning. The tree, it'll remain, it'll go at some point, but it will go at some point. We don't know when, but it will happen. So it's still there at the moment. Now, during the week, we had a session meeting, and we want to inform you this morning that next Sunday, that's Sunday the 17th of October, there will be no meeting in the church building. There'll be one service, and it will be online at 10:30. So let me try and put some context around that for you. So next slide. So if you're looking on the screen there, you'll see that there's all the proposed regulations, and you can see that various triggers change the restrictions. So when we met on Monday night's session, we considered what we might do, given all the various triggers and all the various biblical principles we hold. So one of the key things that we hold as Christians is we are one in Christ Jesus. Okay, vaccination does not define us as Christians. We're Christians because we believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's one of the key principles. So next Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to close the church building for public worship, and we'll have one service for everybody, which will be online at 10:30. Now, when the next trigger level sets in, which is 80% vaccination double dose across the state, now we're expecting that somewhere between the 18th and 23rd of October, we will go back to what we've got in place now. So the arrangements that we have for today, we will go back to when that trigger happens. Now, the next trigger level, which we understand, is the 1st of December. And at that point, if you're in Lockhart, we'll be having a service at 8:45 in the building, and the live stream will be at that time. So it won't be at 10:30, it will be at 8:45 if you're online. Now, all that is subject to the government's discretion, and they can change the rules at any time, but that's the plan at the moment. So I hope that's clear. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to me or one of the elders. But I want to stress the really important thing, which is no physical face-to-face next Sunday. We're going to meet online, and you'll get an email during the week as a reminder. Okay. Yes. So we're not sure when the 80% double dose will kick in. Certainly, we expect to be online on the 17th. 24th, we're not sure about. 31st, we're not sure about. But as the changes, and that once the 80% is met, we will revert back to what we're doing now. Yep, thanks, Andrew. Okay, a couple of announcements. I'm sorry, men, that I had to cancel on Thursday night. I had to go to a meeting, but we're going to try again for Thursday at 7:30 for men's Bible study. And we're going to have Greenhouse online this week as well, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. If you're a young person, come and have some fun, and we'll continue looking at Jonah. Okay, that's all the announcements. James is on his way to the front of the church. So we'll have the kids talk. Morning, James. Morning. Okay, why don't you look at the screen, James? Okay, what does that mean? God is King. Oh, God is King. Now, let's add some things to it. What about this one, James? God is strong. Okay, so God is King plus God is strong plus God is... if that's true, He is everywhere. That's not what that symbol means. Do you know what that symbol means? Goes on and on and on and on. And there's a word for it. Starts with E. Yeah, that'll do. Ever. God is ever. God is eternal. That's the word starts with E. So God is King, and God is strong, and God is eternal, plus God is... Can you work that one out? friendly. Not quite. I'll give you a clue. Starts with T. So what's the book of the Bible that's on the screen, James? What book is it? What's it say there? Book of Ruth. Now, if you put a T with Ruth, what do you get? This, you got it. God is truth. God is true. Okay. So God is king. God is strong. God is eternal. God is truth or true. In other words, he keeps his word. And that equals something. See if you can work it out. Not God is mayonnaise. It's not the right answer, okay? God's not 25 cents. A bit more than that, okay? Let's work it out, James, okay? God is, what brand of mayonnaise is that? What's the thing on the bottle? Starts with P. What's it say? What's it say in the middle there? Yes. So praise plus worth plus Y equals praiseworthy. There we go. Yeah, close. Okay, so God is king. He reigns forever. God is strong. God is eternal. God is truth means that God is praiseworthy. It means we should give our praise and our thanks to God for who he is, okay? Because God is all these things, our response, James, should be to praise him, which is what we do when we come together on a Sunday, okay? I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you that you are king, that you are eternal and strong, that you always keep your word. And we pray that because of that, that you'd help us to praise you with all of our heart. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, James. I think we've got some activities for you. And Jam people, if you want to head out as well, we'll see you at morning tea time. Our song is Here I Am to Worship. So it's a reminder sometimes when we come to Sunday and we're thinking about praise and worship of God, it's always good to think about why we're actually doing that. And this is a really helpful song that helps us to think about that. So if you're on the songbook, we're on page number 10, Here I Am to Worship. Lead us in prayer this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that everything that happens in this world, you have ordained, and everything that happens in this world, you have ordained for good, because you are good. And Lord, we know that we live in really interesting times, sometimes even scary times, where we look at our world and the direction in which it's heading, the course that which it is taking. But Lord, we thank you that we can take comfort this morning in the fact that you are sovereign over everything, everything that happens in this world. Father, we do pray in this current climate and times that you'd be using it to draw many people to yourself. Father, we know that there are many people out there who are seeking, who are struggling. Father, who are questioning. And Father, we pray that they would be connected with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, in these difficult times for us as Christians, Father, we pray that you give each one of us the wisdom of Solomon to know how to live right lives and godly lives, to know how to speak to people with grace and respect. Father, we pray that you would protect us. Father, particularly our hearts from being hard and the things that we say, which, Father, we sometimes say in not the right way, and, Father, do more damage because of our words. Lord, we pray at this time that you would strengthen your church, that you would make it stronger. Father, we know that when your church is attacked, as it so often is, Father, that is where your people grow, and that is where you do good work, and that people who don't know you see our lives and see the great and good things that we have as Christians and ultimately do come to put their faith and trust in you. Heavenly Father, we pray particularly again this morning for those who are in authority over us. Father, there are many voices that they listen to, but we pray they may listen to your voice. Father, we pray that they would receive wise counsel and godly counsel. Father, they would think not of their own interests or the interests of various groups, but, Father, the interests of all people, and govern with justice and righteousness in the way that you govern in justice and righteousness. And Father, we do pray that your truth would prevail. Father, there are so many lies floating around in our society at the moment. Give us the ability to discern what is truth and what is error. Father, we do pray for those who are struggling, Lord, even in our own congregation and circles, there are people with serious health concerns. And Father, we commit them to you. We pray for those who care for them and are related to them as well. Father, there are people who are just struggling with just various pressures from work or financial or what have you, relational. Father, we pray for your assistance, for your hand to intervene into those situations to help those who so desperately need it. Father, we pray for us as your people that you might help us to pursue an agenda of holiness, of growth, of understanding of your word, of graciousness in the way that we interact with people. Father, please help us. Lord, it is difficult as we live in these days, and we Pray particularly for our young people, Father, and just the added pressures that come upon them. Father, we think of those who are about to do exams at university and at school as well. Father, just be with our young people. Encourage them. Let them know that you are there, that they can talk to you and pray to you and can find comfort and peace in you as well. So, Heavenly Father, continue your work in us. Challenge us and change us. But, Father, we pray, Lord, for the glory of your name might go forth and that people would come under your sovereign hand and your sovereign rule and that your kingship may be seen for what it is. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue in our reading from 1 Chronicles. So if you've got your Bibles there, 1 Chronicles 16, 7 to 36, page numbers there on the screen. And Beryl is going to read it for us this morning. Thanks, Beryl.
Thank you. Following on, verse 7, chapter 16. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, or call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for a thousand generations, the cover he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake, he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord all glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praised the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen indeed. Let me pray for us as we look at this passage. Father, help us to feel the joy and the excitement of this passage, of this event that is recorded for our benefit. We thank you for the truth of your word, and we pray that you'd speak it into our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of God's faithful missionaries, Alan Gardner, he experienced many physical difficulties and hardships throughout the service of his Saviour. And despite his troubles, he said, "While God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me." In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of a disease and starvation. He was serving on Picton Island off the southern tip of South America. And when his body was found, his diary lay nearby, and it bore this record of hunger, of thirst, of wounds, and of loneliness. The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write in a legible fashion. It read, "I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God." Now, I wonder whether we today, despite how good we actually have it, whether we are actually overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God and whether we actually respond appropriately. When David finally got to move that ark into Jerusalem, there's no doubt that he was overcome with a sense of the goodness of God and he responded appropriately. That's abundantly clear in today's passage for us. And as we've seen over the last few weeks, in this kind of arc narrative, in chapter 13, David, with his great intentions, he decides to bring the ark of God, and we saw that it went horribly, horribly wrong. So David went at it a second time, but this time he followed the directions that God had laid out previously. And when we left off last week, we were up to verse 15 of chapter 14. So the priests and Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring the ark of God, the God of Israel. And Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded it in accordance with the word of the Lord. So when it comes to this movement of the ark, the Levites, they're the central players. They're the ones appointed by God who could move this ark. But David told the Levites to appoint their brothers into this musical procession that would follow. So some were appointed to play the cymbals in chapter 15, verse 19. Others were appointed to play the lyre in verse 20. Others were appointed to play the harp in verse 21. In verse 22, we're told that Kenaiah, the head Levite, he was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was skillful at it. They weren't just allocated because they were jobs to be filled. They were allocated based on their ability and skills and talents. They had an important job to do, and that was to lead the people in the worship of God, because this was a special day. Verse 25, David and the elders of Israel, and the commanders of the units of hundreds, went up to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing. So all Israel brought up, verse 28, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with the shouts of the sounding of the ram's horn and the trumpets and the cymbals and the playing of the lyres and the harp. It's an image. We're gathered together here. The mind is of joyful unity. It's a loud procession full of rejoicing and gladness. But it's what stands behind it that's really important. And the writer makes a really helpful connection, I think, for us, with an emphasis on the trumpet. Now, you might say, well, how do you get to that conclusion? Well, in Numbers 10, we read this, Numbers 10. Lord said to Moses, "Make two trumpets of hav and silver and use them for calling the community together and for having the camps set out." You're going a bit further, verse 9. "When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who's oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpet. Then you'll be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies. Also, at times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivals, you're to sound the trumpets. Offer your burnt offerings and your fellowship offerings, and there will be a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." Now, the writer here of Numbers, he gives four reasons for the sounding of the trumpet, and they're all in play here in this narrative, which is why the writer, I think, emphasizes the trumpet. There's celebration because the community had been called together. They were called as the community of God's people. The Lord had been and will save them from their enemies. There's a call to reconciliation and fellowship with God. No wonder there is so much joy. And then there was lots of sacrifices. This is a celebration of the goodness and greatness of God. So does time with God's people on the Lord's Day, does that fill you with the same joy and cause you to rejoice? Do you get excited about being the people of God? Do you take delight in that you can have fellowship with the living God and have your sins forgiven? Well, if it doesn't, you may have to think about what you're doing. It should always be something that we look forward to. But this day in Jerusalem, this day was not for everyone. In verse 29, we're told that as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was entering the city of David, Milcah, the daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David dancing and celebrating, she despised him in her heart. Now, in 1 Samuel 18, David married the daughter of Saul, Michal, but it came with this kind of political intrigue. But by now, her love for David had turned sour and she despised him. But the writer of the Chronicles drops this little note to once again remind us that this is the end of the line of King Saul. 2 Samuel 6 tells us that Michal had no children to the day of her death. So with the ark in place, sacrifices being offered, blessings on the people being carried out, we're told in verse 7 that David committed a psalm to thanksgiving to Asaph and his associates. Now, why would you not? I mean, from David's perspective, God's rule had been reestablished over Israel. God's people had affirmed their loyalty to God and his covenant. So let's turn to this psalm of David. And as we read it, if you're thinking, gee, this sounds familiar, you'd be right. This psalm of thanksgiving in verses 7 to 37 is actually a composition of sections from three psalms, Psalm 105, Psalm 96, and Psalm 106. Now, the NIV in its translation of verse 7 implies that David writes this psalm and gives it to Asaph for the Levites for performance. But more precisely, is that David assigns the activity of giving thanks to the Lord to Asaph and his relatives. So I'm going to look very briefly at this psalm in terms of the three bits of where this psalm comes from, because each bit highlights something significant. So firstly, in verses 7 to 22, it matches up with Psalm 105, verses 1 to 15. And that psalm starts with this invitation to praise God. And then three times in verses 10 and 11, it invites people to seek God. Now, that's actually an important theme that runs right throughout Chronicles, this idea of seeking God. And while we praise God and we seek him, Psalm also reminds us that worship not only has vertical dimensions, that's between us and God, but also has all these horizontal dimensions. And in particular, Psalm says we are to make God's deeds known among the people and to remember his wondrous works. But the real heart in this little section of the psalm is this idea of covenant. So let me read from verse 15 for us. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob in a decree to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give you the land of Canaan and the portion you will inherit. The key theme or the key statement is verse 15. God remembers his covenant forever. Now, what does it mean for God to remember his covenant? Well, the concept of remembering, it's more than an intellectual exercise. It's more than an exam where you have to get your ideas and sort of recall them and get them onto the paper. Remember includes acting upon what is recalled. So when God says he remembers his covenants, another way of saying God is acting on his promises. Now, one of those promises which made up the covenant was this promise of land. So the link being drawn here is this ark that's arriving back. It's a sign of the promises of God being fulfilled. What this little section is saying is that God is always faithful to his promises, always working in circumstances around his people, even when it doesn't appear to be so. So when Israel were few in number, when they were strangers, when they were wandering from nation to nation, God was still working things out. He allowed no one to oppress them. And for their sake, he even rebuked kings, as verse 20 tells us. There was this time on, really early on in the covenant reality, it was really fragile. Abraham did not see the fulfillment of those promises that God made to him, but he still believed them. He still had faith in them. However, all these promises that were made to Abraham were just as valid to the David generation. So imagine if you're sitting there reading Chronicles, you're by the rivers of Babylon, you're asking the question, well, do the promises of God still stand? Well, here's the emphatic answer. Yes, it does. They do stand. And the good news is we also receive the promises of the covenant, because this covenant is an everlasting covenant and God does not break his covenant. We stand on the promises of God as well. Secondly, in verses 23 to 33, they match up with Psalm 96, 1 to 13. And again, we see some of the same themes. There's this call to worship the Lord, to give thanks, to speak of God's works, to declare his praise among the nations. But again, the psalmist gives us a basis for praise. Verse 25, great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. He's to be feared above all gods, says the psalmist. For all the gods of the nations, they're idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, says the psalmist. Strength and joy in his dwelling place. The nations might ask, why should you worship your God? What's so good about your God? And the answer, well, he's God. That's the answer. All the other gods that are around the place, they're man-made gods. They're idols. Just do the comparison between the two. Idols are lifeless. Compare that with the things God has done and is doing. For example, the Lord made the heavens in verse 26. Splendor and glory go before him. Look at creation. It speaks of his majesty. It's no wonder the psalmist says, ascribe to the Lord the worship to his name. But wait, there's a bit more. Verse 30. Tremble before him all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, says the psalmist. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Not only did God make the heavens and the earth, he sustains the heavens and the earth. He's the king of the world. He's the ruler of the world. Even creation itself sings for joy before the Lord. Thirdly, verses 34 to 37, they match up with Psalm 106, verse 1 and verse 47 and 48. Let's have a look at them. Verse 34, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us, deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your name, your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. In light of God's goodness, in light of his character, the psalmist makes this intercession. He makes intercession because of the events of moving the ark back into Jerusalem. Now, did you notice the language on the way through? It's not that David brought back the ark. It was God who brought back the ark. It's what he has done. But as we've seen previously, God has defeated other nations. For example, the Philistines in chapter 14. That fits with this psalm's emphasis that God reigns over all the nations. So the ark and the victories over the nations, they're evidence of God's salvation in Israel. And because of this, the psalmist makes intercession for two things. Firstly, to gather and to deliver his people from the nations. And secondly, to the glory in the praise of God. That's what they're praying for God to do fresh acts of salvation. That's the prayer the exiles would have been praying too. And that's our prayer too, that God would do fresh acts of salvation. We need to pray in our day that God would deliver people from sin and death through Jesus, that they might glory in him and know the joy of salvation. So hopefully you too can join in with the hearty amen to that, just as the people did in verse 36. And this chapter closes with a return to where we started from, and it lists a whole bunch of people and their duties. But it makes two important points about worship. Let's look closely at it. Verse 37. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. And then in verse 40, to present burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of the burnt offering regularly, morning and evening, in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord, which he had given Israel. This was not to be a one-off event. God's people were to worship regularly, even daily. They were to come before him continually. The systems that David had set up were there for the regular, ongoing worship. Remembering that worship is to be done in the way that God prescribes, not our own. And that's what we would expect, given verse 41. With them were Heman and Jeduthun and the rest of those chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. You see that key phrase? Endures forever. Because God endures forever, his praise and worship he deserves must be forever as well. And that's why the book of Revelation, it paints this picture of God being worshipped for all eternity. Now, deeply immersed in meditation during a church service, an Italian poet by Dante Alighieri, he failed to kneel at the appropriate moment. Now, his enemies then decided to hurry off to the bishop and demanded that Dante be punished for his sacrilege. And Dante defended himself by saying this. He said, "If those who accused me had their eyes and minds on God, as I had, they too would have failed to notice the events around them, and they most certainly would not have noticed what I was doing." Now, that's exactly what worship is actually about. It's about blocking out all that is actually going on around us. It's what sportsmen's call getting in the zone. It's focusing on God alone, zeroing in on who he is and what he has done. It's letting our heart and our mind be captivated and kindled by this glorious God. And then it's to respond by ascribing what is rightfully due to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder this morning again of the great God that you are and what you have done in creation, what you have done for your people, what you have done for us. And so we pray this morning that our lives might be a continual praise offering before you, that our lives might be full of thanks, that we would have that time to focus on you, to focus on who you are, and to respond appropriately to you. Help us, we pray, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've just heard from God's word, and we're now going to sing God's word. As I said in the sermon this morning, part of what's in that 1 Chronicles 16 passage is Psalm 96. So we're going to sing Psalm 96. We've sung this a few times. It's just such a rich psalm, and I really encourage you as we work through this. If you want to follow along from 1 Chronicles, that's perfectly a good thing to do. But just to take in who God actually is as we work through this psalm together. Psalm 96.
Oh, sing a new song, oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing all the earth, his name be adored. Tell forth his salvation as day follows day. Oceans re-echo with thunderous voice, for he reigns. forest and field for gladness shall sing to welcome the Lord, their Maker and King. For by His true judgment at last shall be weighed all lands and all peoples, the world that He made. For He reigns, the Lord God is King. Yes, He reigns. Sing a new song. Give Him the glory, the praise to His name. Bow down before Him, the Lord God. He reigns, for He reigns. The Lord God is King. Yes, He reigns. Sing a new song. Give Him the glory, the praise to His name. Bow down before Him, the Lord God. He reigns. Oh, give Him the glory, the praise to His name. Bow down before Him, the Lord God. He reigns.
1 Chronicles 16:36 says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen." And they said, "Praise the Lord." Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. If you're in the Hen Church, we actually have some morning tea. Reminder that we will be one service next week, which will be online. And there's a box at the back if you want to make a collection to the work of the Lord. Go forth and praise the Lord. Amen.